Speaking of resumes, quickly before Bruce Boudreau joins us, you see Kim Kardashian has officially pulled the plug on Kanye West.
Dude, that's old news, man. Come on.
I know, but it's official now. The rumors had been out there, TMZ and all that good stuff, Us Weekly, but now it is official, and she better lock those DMs down because there are going to be people climbing through Instagram. We talked about Ronaldo the other day.
Oh, my God. The DMs might shut down social media.
It might actually shut it down. Like, the algorithms, they'll just say we can't take it because Kim's, you know, Kim Kardashian is who she is, and I guess she's going to be officially on the market. 7 years of wedding bliss, marital bliss with Kanye West, and I guess they're going to go their separate ways. So shout out to Kim and Kanye. I doubt Bruce Boudreau has ever had anyone segue from Kim Kardashian.
I bet you Brucey was a hot ticket in Toronto when he was playing D for the Leafs. No bucket on, wheeling up and down the ice.
Yep.
Absolutely. That is a legend right there.
I think you're right about that. Here he is, longtime coach, former Leaf, former Marley, one of our favorites, Bruce Boudreau. What's happening, Bruce?
Well, my hair used to flow back there.
Brucey, it was awesome,
into
man.
The wind with... It was going about 7 miles an hour at top speed. You know, it was awesome.
Back at the Gardens, right?
How much Brucey, was there anything better than that, though, playing at the Gardens, hair flowing, like just wheeling and dealing out there? It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Greatest moments of my life. It was really special, you know. And if I ever got off the bench, it would have flowed even better.
Right.
But I was on the bench the whole time.
Well, it never got wet then, so you could always keep it intact. That's a good thing. When you were, like, warming up or playing, did you ever look up to Harold Ballard in the box that he had? Was that something, like, all the players were aware that he was up there and watching, or what was that like?
Well, we were aware that he was watching, but he was at the other end where we warmed up. We warmed up on the other side, and he would never be there early because I guarantee if he was there early, the other team would have tried to shoot pucks at him in that little bunker there. So he waited till game time before he came down in there.
Yeah, I like that. How even the opponents were not his biggest fan. That's always, although it's probably former Leafs you're talking about.
There were a lot of trades back then. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about the move by Sheldon Keefe in the third period last night, where John Tavares has not been lighting it up offensively. He's been playing okay. He's just not getting his cookies right now. And it was a blowout game last night, and yet with about 7 or 8 minutes to go, Sheldon Keefe put Mitch Marner on Tavares' line. And sure enough, Mitch gets him the puck that ends up going into the net and gets Tavares on the board ultimately. And we found that to be a curious move. I think it's a smart play. But it's almost as if, like, we got to get this guy going in a blowout win against a pretty bad opposition. I don't know if you saw that last night, Bruce, but can you reason with that maneuver from Sheldon Keefe?
I thought it was brilliant myself. I was watching it, and I'm going, you know, here's a coach that understands. We're going to win the game. But let's see if we can't just Mitch Marner was going, like, lights on fire. Lights out, sorry. And why not put him on with him and see if he can't, you know, generate something? Because sometimes all it takes is one goal like that, and then or an assist or what have you, and then they take off and they're good to go. But I thought it was a really good move, and I thought it was a really good move. You put Nylander with Matthews and see if he can't get going. If all of a sudden they had scored 2 or 3 goals, Ottawa, I'm talking about, you know, we would have been saying something else, but it wasn't, and it wasn't going to happen. And you'll see them, all the lines will be back together the way they're supposed to be tomorrow night. But I thought it was a great move. And I bet you the players really appreciated, quite frankly, that saying, hey, you know what, he's trying to get everybody going on this team. This is going to work. So, I mean, I thought it was a really good move.
Bruce, how have you in the past dealt with quality players like a Tavares or a Nylander that aren't exactly firing on all cylinders? What is the approach from a coach? It's different than fourth liners because it's not like, okay, I'm going to sit your ass in the stands or on the bench. What was your approach to kind of help a quality player of that magnitude get going?
Well, I always wanted to play them more, double shift them. And I'll tell you where it stems from. When John Anderson and me were playing in Fort Wayne, in 89, it's a long time ago, but John started out in a real slump, and the coach there was starting to not play him more, and I remember going up in the bus and says, hey, this guy is a great player. Play him more. He will get out of this slump. And he did, and he ended up, you know, I think scoring 40 goals in 60 games that year. But the point is, I don't think it helps anybody when you've got a player that has a history of either scoring a lot of points or being great and sitting him, whereas if you play him more and you can get him out of it, then all of a sudden the world becomes normal again. So, I mean, I would think, like, you're not going to sit a John Tavares or a Nylander. You're going to play them a little bit more, and hopefully they get out of it because they appreciate what the coach is trying to do then, and I think they play harder for them.
Bruce, you take a look at this Northern Division, and you know, the schedule's very unique, and I know this is kind of a one-off situation as far as, you know, not being able to cross the border and only having six other opponents. But if you're looking at a potential week like this as a coach, and you've got a game Saturday and another game Saturday, and then in between, you've got three games against Ottawa, where it's a, you know, they're a team that's in a rebuild, and clearly, and you're looking at the big picture. Would you plan it like a little series, or do you plan it like one game at a time? Are there more adjustments after the first game? Like when you're laying out your schedule, are there different things you want to get to as a coach, or are you just literally taking it one game at a time, one period at a time?
I mean, I try not to plan too far ahead. I mean, the one thing I know over the course of years is that Ottawa gets up for Toronto more than they get up for any other team. So, I mean, they play above what they're really capable of on most nights playing against the Leafs. Maybe Montreal to an extent because it's not that far away, but the Battle of Ontario, and you've seen it so often. So I don't think you can afford to look ahead. I'll take, like, the game where they came back was one thing, but the next 2 days, listening to Toronto radio stations and listening to reading in the paper, it was all about, hey, yeah, the Leafs screwed up, and, you know, we screwed up, and we'll never let it happen again, and blah, blah, blah. But they forgot to tell Ottawa. And Ottawa sees that, and they go, they're basically saying, we're no good. And we're going to, and they came out, and I thought in the first half of the game, they outplayed the Leafs pretty good. The last half, they couldn't keep it up, and the Leafs ended up winning the game 2-1. But if you look at all three games and you try to plan for the third game without winning the first or without getting through the first and second, I think the next thing you know is you've lost 2 out of 3 and instead of winning 2 out of 3.
We're chatting with Bruce Boudreau, the Leafs back in action tomorrow night in Montreal. Your first year behind a bench in Washington back in 07-08, that year Ovechkin scored 65 goals and he won the Hart. Do you see any similarities in terms of where Austin Matthews is right now and where he is taking his game this season?
Well, I tell you, yeah. I mean, everything they touch, they feel is going in. And, the only difference so far right now is I think Austin's being way more consistent. I mean, Ovi would go maybe 4 or 5 games without anything happening, and then he'd get two hat tricks in back-to-back games, or he'd get, you know, I mean, and that's what he would do. Like, I mean, I remember especially playing in Ottawa, quite frankly, the night before we played in Pittsburgh, he did nothing. He was maybe the worst player on the ice. The next day, he gets 4 goals in Ottawa. And so, I mean, the Ovi, when he did that thing, he would score in bunches. And, I mean, Austin's got the same capabilities. But right now, he's doing it every night, night in and night out. And I think he's quite incredible to watch. He still has scored, and you guys won't remember this, but as good a goal as I've ever seen. And it's just as far as hands go. He had a 2-on-1 last year, or it was a power play, sorry, against us. And Marner threw the puck. It was about a foot in the air. And he knocked it down with... Yeah. Such soft hands that by the time it hit the ice, he had it up in the top shelf. And I must have looked at that goal 20 times.
Was that in Minnesota, Bruce?
Yeah. And I was in disbelief at how a guy could have that good a hand. But everything since then has proved that he does.
Well, no kidding. I mean, he just continues to score at a ridiculous pace. And there's going to be a couple of fun games tomorrow, or I guess this weekend, in Lake Tahoe, where two games are going on. And you had the luxury and I think the privilege of coaching in one of those outdoor games. And can you take us back to that? Was that something you guys relished and you guys kind of appreciated, that it was a change of pace? You know, a long season, game in, game out, and then all of a sudden you get to prepare for something big and it's outdoors and this won't have fans. Yours did. But what was that experience like?
It's so exciting, and it's different, and I think the players love the difference. I mean, the biggest difference, I was in two. One was in when I was with Anaheim, we played in Los Angeles, which was crazy enough. It was 75 degrees out, and the ice was fabulous, but at Dodger Stadium, playing in front of 60,000 people, and then the other one in Pittsburgh in front of 70,000 people. Hockey players don't get that, where they're playing in front of that many people, and you get to see what it's like, almost like as a football cheering section, because we're down at the bottom, and it gets so loud you can't believe it. But it's both of those games, the memories will stay with you forever, and I can't even picture the fun that these guys are going to have in Lake Tahoe. I mean, it's the only thing that, and it wouldn't be better, but I hope this leads to a game in Mystery Alaska.
Right.
I think that would be the next
keep it
one.
Going.
I mean, but this is, you know, it's a beautiful part of the world, and I would, other than the fans not being there, it brings you back to your youth and playing on outdoor rinks. When you're a kid, like, I mean, maybe not as much now, but in the early 60s and early 70s, there were a lot of outdoor rinks, and we used to have to play in them all the time, and I think those memories are as good of memories as you're ever going to have.
Yep, I think you speak for everyone, certainly in Toronto and throughout Canada, for that matter. It's going to be fun. It's always great to catch up with you, Bruce. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
I look forward to it. Thanks again.
You got it. There he is, Bruce Boudreau. Good Toronto boy, big Leaf fan, watching the game last night. I love it.
He'll be back in the league soon enough.
Yeah, he will be, for sure. Yeah. He will be. And we've all seen the pictures in Lake Tahoe. It is incredible.
It's spectacular.
It looks beautiful.
Man. I don't know what it is, guys. I don't want to be the Grinch. I'm just...
You don't like the outdoor games?
I don't know what it is. I think just with... Maybe it's the escape, like just a regular hockey fan needs to see the mountains, to see the rink, but I'm just like... With all that's going on, did they really need to go out there and set this up? I don't know. I've never been kind of outdoor guy myself. Maybe I don't want to.
Wow.
I'm with you in terms of it, like the New Year's Day game at Wrigley and then Fenway, you know, I don't need that every year.
I was kind of one a year. It was good with me, Hayes.
Yes, like, same. But what I like about this, this is something I've been advocating for a long time, is do it somewhere remote, do it somewhere original. Yeah. And I think the backdrop, I think it's just going to look incredible on TV. I really do. And yeah. I think it's probably a one-off because they want to sell 60,000 tickets. They want to make money. So that's why they're going to do it again. There'll be one at BMO Field in the next 2 or 3 years to make up money. They'll go back to Wrigley. They'll go back to Fenway, Yankee Stadium. It's all the usual suspects. But this one looks incredible. And the players are going to be used to it, you know, not playing with fans. They've been doing it for a while anyway. So I don't think that'll throw them off. But I think it's going to be great TV. I think it'll look very cool. I'm not saying the games will be great, but we'll see. I mean, good teams. Very good teams.